From Buck Studio at Wisconsin Public Radio, this is Zorba Pastor on Your Health. I'm Tom Clark, here again with Family Doc Zorba Pastor, talking with you about what's new in healthy living, sharing some down-to-earth advice and great lifestyle tips to help you get the most out of life. If you have a question for Zorba, the number to call is 1-800-462-7413. And, of course, along with your calls, some interesting topics to talk about, Zorba.
Germs. Fear of germs. Ooh, fear of germs, sort of like Halloween. People are worried. I'm going to give you five ridiculous tips how to keep from spreading germs. Very interesting thing, germs. And we're talking about vitamin D, how it doesn't work the way we want it to. Woo-hoo!
Why am I taking it? I guess I'll find out.
And we're going to get a wonderful recipe, veggie frittata with Asiago cheese. It really is a wonderful vegetarian recipe. If you like cheese, and we're in Wisconsin, we love cheese.
I have no idea what was that?
Asiago. Asiago. Can you spell it, Asiago? It's a good cheese. It's a full-bodied cheese.
Oh, good. 800-462-7413 is our number.
You, have I?
That's 1-800-462-7413. To our first caller, Zorba, a listener in El Paso, Texas. Hi.
Hello.
How can we help?
Okay, I have a situation with my husband. He's 77, retired veteran of Vietnam War. Mm-hmm. He has ischemic heart disease, and now he's been diagnosed with Parkinson's. Mm-hmm. He's taken several medications, mm-hmm. and he insists that he can drink his hard liquor, mm-hmm. and it won't cause a problem. Uh-huh. Now, the reason, the logic he has is that because the doctors told him he cannot drive, mm-hmm. and the medicine says no drinking while mm-hmm. driving. Since mm-hmm. he's not driving, mm-hmm. he can drink. Uh-huh. And I think that doesn't make any sense at all. I figure as much as he's been drinking all these years, mm-hmm. that he needs to give it a rest and don't drink with the medications that he's taking, because sure. he's taken several of them.
Sure. How much is he drinking?
No, he's not drinking now, but he wants to have like a shot a day or so. Uh-huh. And he doesn't drink beer and wine. He drinks mm-hmm. Hard liquor, uh-huh. cognac and bourbon and Crown Royal and all of these things.
And I need to cut in because my wife is mistaken. No doctor has ever told me I can't drink. They always tell me in moderation. And that's what I do. I have had a shot and a half of liquor for the years so far.
Now, Zorba, this is unusual. Yeah. Now you have to tell one of our two callers you're wrong.
Something I dread. I always dread one or the other. So first of all, let's talk about alcohol. Mm-hmm. Alcohol is alcohol is alcohol. So whether or not you get the equivalent of a shot, but you're doing it in wine, in the form of wine, you know, the amount of alcohol is in wine, or it's equivalent in beer, or it's a shot, doesn't really matter. The reason why we think of hard liquor as worse, because you can get drunker quicker by drinking more of it. I mean, that's kind of what it is. Hard liquor is just a concentrated form of alcohol, but it's booze, doesn't make a difference. Mm-hmm. If you're having the equivalent of an ounce and a half. Medicines, of course, often say don't drink with the medicine and drive. Why? Because it may activate your inability to drive and mm-hmm. make it worse. Mm-hmm. Good example are drugs that you may take that are a variety of tranquilizers called benzos. And if you take a drink and you take a benzodiazepine, it's kind of like having three or four drinks. And you may crash your car and might hurt yourself or hurt somebody else. So that's put in there. Same, by the way, is true with antihistamines like Benadryl. You take an over-the-counter Benadryl and it says, don't drive. Well, a lot of people take over-the-counter Benadryl. It doesn't affect them, and they do drive.
Are you saying all of that to avoid having
the, I'm saying all of this to
tell
avoid
him whether he can have a shot or
no,
not.
No. I'm like Judge Judy. I've got it before I give my answer. I got to give my explanation.
Otherwise, I don't drink and drive, so and I don't drink as evidenced by the fact that I've had a shot and a half all year.
So here is my answer. If you're in an okay cardiovascular state, it's okay to have a drink a day. And that is my answer. I don't have my gavel. I'll use my hand. You can have a drink a day. That's okay. That's what I would have, a shot a day, not a shot and a half. And I think that is safe. The other issue is this. You've got heart disease. And we know that actually the equivalent of a shot, be it in wine, beer or alcohol, actually is a salubrious. It is actually good for your heart. We actually know that. The American Heart Association doesn't like to admit that because they're a bunch of puritanical East Coast snobs, and anything that smells or tastes good must be bad for you. But the reality is the data does show that it's okay. So I'm coming down on your side of your husband, and I'm sorry.
I want to give I want to give the wife a chance to argue with you.
Argue. I'm the judge. I'm the judge. So that's exactly.
Well, you made him very happy and me very sad.
How long have you?
He won't be sad because I would drink in moderation, sweetheart.
We'll see. I may have to call you back later, doctor.
Thank you so much.
Both of
you. Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. We appreciate that.
Yes!
800-462-7413 is our number. That's 800-462-7413. Now, Zorba, let's kick off our first topic discussion of the show. A listener recently mailed us a magazine article entitled, Five Germ-Spreading Habits to Give Up Now. Okay, Zorba, let's get our hands dirty and dig into these tips. Tell us what this article is looking at.
Well, first of all, let's talk about germs. We do not live in a germ-free environment. They live on us all the time. They're all around. You know, you've got to be reasonable about germs, like taking a little Purell with you so you might put it on your hands before you're eating. That's reasonable. When I wash my hands between patients, of course you've got to do something like that. But people can be absolutely ridiculous, and there can be germophobes, and that itself is one thing. So there's some tips that are good. And some tips that are ridiculous. Mm-hmm. So not washing your hands long enough. So, quote, the optimal amount of time you should spend washing your hands with warm and soapy water is 20 to 30 seconds. Nobody does that. 30 seconds. You should, how long does that ting? Sing, happy birthday twice. So who does that? Who washes their hands for 30 seconds? Now, if you're going to go and, you know, I'm going to do some surgery in my office, I'm going to wash my hands a lot, but really, I'm going to stay there in the sink. How many public bathrooms have you gone to where people wash their hands for 30 seconds?
That is right. Happy birthday twice. That's about the right length of time.
It is absolutely, ridiculous.
Happy birthday to you. Thank you, Tom.
Thank you, Tom. Now, what's interesting, by the way, about Purell and the other hand sanitizers is you do a squirt on your hand and you keep on, you know, washing your hands with a squirt until it dries. And it turns out that is the right amount. In other words, the typical, not the squeeze, and I'm not talking about the bottles where you can squeeze more, but if you have the pump bottle, that amount turns out to be the right amount, and it's much quicker. Okay. Drying your hands with a hairdryer, very bad. Why? Because a study in the Applied and Environmental Microbiology Journal found that you're dispensing bacteria throughout the room. Really? Gross. In other words, you're inhaling the bacteria. Now, here.
Well, nobody does that.
You mean dries your hands with the hand dryer?
Yeah.
I do it all the time, but you don't do it? Oh, my God, that is disgusting.
Towel.
I don't use the towel. I use the hand dryer now. I kind of think the new hand dryers are great because they sort of blow this stuff off your hands. This person says you're going to be inhaling germs. All right, okay. Sharing hand towels. We have a hand towel in the bathroom. They say never, ever do that. Don't share a hand towel.
Everybody shares hand towels.
Got to have one for every member of the family. Oh, right. I can just see walking in the house.
Color-coded.
Hi, I have obsessive-compulsive disorder. Please, here's your towel. You're number 7. And they give them a card. It is absolutely ridiculous. Using bar soap. Now, I do understand that, but I can't use it in my house. I mean, I happen to like bar soap. Do you like liquid soap or bar soap?
Liquid.
I don't like liquid soap. I like bar soap. It reminds me of my Aunt Myrtle. I use Dial soap, and I smell the Dial, and I'm seriously, I think of her. She's been dead for 10
then
years.
Then you have to put it down wet.
Well, but I think that's a cultural thing. You decide what you want. But I understand no bar soap in the public bathroom. That does make sense to me. But here's one that absolutely makes total sense. Stop talking and texting while you're on the toilet. I agree with that. No talking and texting on the toilet. Now, I would like to have our listeners chime in and tell me if they have ever talked or texted while they are on the toilet. And I can just see from the people watching us on the screen that this is something that is not uncommon. Now, not for you, because you're a Luddite. You don't take your phone with you anywhere. But people talk and text when they're on the toilet. It's kind of that. Yeah, that's not good. Yeah. That's kind of disgusting.
Yeah.
So, you know, I give this a 1 out of 5.
Well, let's get back to the phones. 800-462-7413. Can you remember that number? 800-462-7413.
I can't remember my phone number. Remember when you used to have to remember phone numbers or you wouldn't be able to call people?
Well, let's see if we can help a listener now in St. George, Utah. Hi.
Hey.
How can we help?
Okay, well, I got this pain in my forearm. It starts in my inner elbow and kind of radiates down towards my wrist and sometimes into my fingers. It's been slowly getting worse over time, I guess. So what will happen is say I'll be at work and be moving some boxes or something and you know, my right arm will just kind of give out, and I'll drop the box because I won't be able to grip it anymore. And then I can't stretch the arm out all the way. That hurts really bad to do that. And then sometimes, does not necessarily radiate down towards my wrist, but it'll also go up and over my shoulder sometimes.
Huh.
And then start my back hurting a little bit.
So how long has this gone on for?
Probably 3 weeks. It's been getting you know, a little bit worse. We're kind of out of a plateau with it, so now it's just kind of a consistent pain.
Sure. Any injuries? Have you had any injuries lately?
Not lately.
Okay, so no injuries. Are you working, not working, retired? What do you do for a living? What do you do for exercise?
Well, I work for a speaker manufacturer company, and so, you know, it's not like I'm doing, like, repetitive motions with it, you know, and then, for exercise, I live life every day.
You live life every day.
Yeah,
you live life every day. That's your exercise. I live life every day. I've heard a lot of people say things like that, but never that in that manner. Yeah, but do you get exercise with your work?
Yeah, I mean, I guess so. You know, I walk a lot at my work. Uh-huh. I mean, I have a little health tracker watch.
And how many steps do you generally get?
I over 4,000 steps every day. So I don't really look at it every day, but I know every time I glance down, it tells me I'm meeting my goal. I'm always above 4,000.
Okay. So that's you know, 10,000 is our goal, but 4,000. Once you get above 1,000, you're getting something out. You're definitely getting something out of it. A couple of things. First of all, you don't have an injury, so we don't have to worry about doing any imaging studies or anything. I would not recommend you necessarily go see a doctor for this at all. What you need, though, are shoulder exercises to move that around. Sometimes we sleep in a funny way, we move in a funny way. It's just like people have their back go out and they don't really know why it happens. That can happen with your shoulder and with your tendons. And so what you want to do is you want to do shoulder rehabilitation exercises. So what you do is you go to YouTube. It's the best way to do it. You write shoulder rehab exercises. Put that into YouTube. And then a bunch will pop up. And then you look at one which is from a physical therapist. I mean, inevitably, the first five are often by PTs. And we'll also put that on our website, zorbapastor.org, one of the ones that I look at. And if you go to our website. But that's what you want to do. You want to do shoulder rehabilitation exercise post-surgery. There's something called impingement syndrome. I don't think you have that. Impingement syndrome is where the nerves are just sort of, they're squeezed, essentially, because they become inflamed. But even if you have that, the exercises make a difference. That's number one. Number two, you need to get rid of the inflammation. The best way to do that is go to the drugstore, get a generic Aleve, that's naproxen, generic Aleve, two tablets twice a day for 2 weeks. And that'll get rid of the inflammation. I mean, may not completely get rid of it, but it does it well. Whether or not you have pain or not, you got to take it because you want to get the inflammation to settle down in your shoulder. So it two tablets twice a day for 2 weeks and the shoulder exercises. That's what I would do. I wouldn't do any imaging. I wouldn't look at where it came from. You probably slept wrong or did something that you the pain didn't occur right afterwards. And this is not unusual.
Okay.
Great. And keep up with your, try to, on the weekend, you try to get up to 10,000 steps.
I mean, 10,000 steps?
Okay. Yeah. 10,000 is really kind of the goal. Do you have a dog?
No, I don't have a dog, but I have a kid, so maybe I can walk him.
Thanks so much.
All right, thanks.
Yeah, we appreciate that call. That'll work, huh?
Yeah, that'll work.
Now, before the break, Zorba, we love it when our listeners post on the Zorba Pastor on Your Health Facebook page. So let's dial up another round of Facebook feedback.
Facebook feedback.
Okay, before we jump in here, I want to mention something. We recently had a listener ask what Zorba's favorite sweet and sour sauce is. So, Zorba, what did you do?
Well, people have to come to our Facebook page to actually find out. I tested some sweet and sour sauces, and if you go to Facebook, you will see it, and you'll see me testing it, and which one I find my favorite for my cooking. And let me tell you, sweet and sour sauces can be very different, and the one that I picked is really good.
No. Some of us don't have a Facebook page.
Some of us don't even know what Facebook
look
is.
You can't look at your Facebook page. So what do we do?
Well, you know what? You have to go find a friend that can actually go to Facebook. Ha-ha! The Luddites can have friends.
Let me see. Where can I find a friend? All right, let's jump in. First, Mo in Illinois writes, Zorba, you talk about cooking with wine sometimes, but how do I know what type of wine to buy? We don't drink, and I see tons of bottles at the grocery store. If a recipe calls for cooking wine or sherry, how do I pick one?
Well, I'll tell you what I pick. First of all, I pick vermouth. That's what I use for white wine. I learned it years ago from Cooks Illustrated, America's Test Kitchen. They use vermouth all the time. And I get Gallo vermouth because I went through a whole bunch of things to look at it. And it turns out it's not an expensive vermouth. It's a cheap vermouth. I mean, I don't drink vermouth, but that's what I use because it lasts and lasts and lasts. And that's kind of my best advice. And I looked at my liquor cabinet. We don't drink very much the other day. And I found that sometimes I bought a second bottle of vermouth because I couldn't see the first one. And as for sherry, if it calls for sherry, it's a dry sherry. And if you're unsure, you go to the liquor store and you say, we want a dry sherry, and you pick one out, and that's what you use. And these things, once again, it's not as if you have to open a bottle, use it, and then all of a sudden it goes stale. And that's why I don't use white wine, because over time, you open it up, and within a day or two, it changes. Vermouth and sherry do not.
Mm-hmm. Next, Vanya in Walworth, Wisconsin asks, I've been taking a generic form of Fosamax for several months for bone density. I have lately developed muscle and joint aches and pains. I've read this is a possible side effect. What are your thoughts?
Well, I think it's a minimal side effect. When you're looking at side effects, you have to look at less than 5% or greater than 5%. So if it's less than 5%, generally, it may be random, doesn't exist, but occasionally people in the studies reported it. If it's more than 5%, then it really tends to be a side effect. Most common side effect for Fosamax, generic or trademarks, makes no difference. The most common side effect is really stomach distress because you have to take it on an empty stomach without food for 30 minutes. Mm-hmm. So I think that's unlikely. Now, given that, you're going to test it. The way you test it is you take it for a few weeks, you stop it for a few weeks. You take it for a few weeks, you stop it for a few weeks. A third time, take it for a few weeks, stop it like 2 or 3 weeks. And what happens is the placebo effect tends to disappear when you
yes.
do this.
Yeah. Finally, Killian in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma offers us a tip. He writes, I too have had success with using dark chocolate to stop migraines. I found that by eating dark chocolate, drinking espresso, and taking 2 aspirin helps. By following my regimen, I find the migraine will dissipate within 2 to 4 hours instead of lasting for 2 to 3 days.
I think this is great advice. And the thing about migraines are there are different ways to take care of it versus with medication or in a natural way. And I think here, they found something that worked for them. That's really good for migraine sufferers because some may take his advice and it may work for them and get rid of their headaches.
Let's keep the Facebook love coming. And you can always send us an email at...
I don't know. Where can we send an email?
Let me think.
Zorba@wpr.org.
That's it. More calls coming up as well as our tasty recipe, all right here on Zorba Pastor on Your Health from PRX, the Public Radio Exchange. Tom Clark here with Zorba Pastor on Zorba Pastor on Your Health. That number again, 800-462-7413. But before our next call, veggie frittatas with Asagio cheese. I don't know what any of that means.
I'll tell you, you just ruined the whole thing. You know, veggie frittata.
That's what I said.
No, I said frittatas. With Asiago cheese.
Oh, I said Asiago. Okay. Let's get back to the phone.
It's a type of cheese. So you like cheese, right?
I like cheese,
Do you like a full-bodied cheese? Like, do you like...
I don't know.
Do you like Swiss cheese?
I like Swiss cheese.
Swiss cheese. Do you like Gruyere cheese?
Yeah.
Yeah. Asiago cheese is like Gruyere cheese.
Oh.
You know, it's a full body. The other day, I bought brick cheese from Theresa, Wisconsin. It's like the world-famous brick. Brick is a melting cheese. It's like butter queso, which is a melting cheese. I love all different kinds of cheese. And obviously, I'm just... Your mind is going blank.
My mouth is watering. I like cheese, too. I just can't pronounce it.
Well, if you can't pronounce it, you can still eat it. That's it.
That's right.
And you know, the new data shows that dairy products are really much more important than we ever thought. We live in Wisconsin. It's important for us to always talk about cheese. In fact, okay. I'm going to get to the recipe. But my son, Zach, was in college at the University of Oregon his first year, and we sent care packages. You know, you would send care packages to your kids in college. That's what you do.
Sure.
And then we went to visit him in November, and his roommate was there, and he was from the state of Washington, and they were in this tiny little dorm room, and we had sent things. And the roommate said, "Do you ever think about sending something that doesn't have cheese?" And then he looked at it. You know, crackers with cheese, this kind of cheese. The care package always had like 10 different kinds of things made with cheese.
Yeah. I'm thinking back. My mother, a single mom, never sent me a care package with anything.
She still loved you, Tom. She still loved you.
I'm not sure anymore. You've ruined my college days. She's been gone
for a long time. She still loved you. I don't think my mother... No, my mother sent me a care package. Cookies. That's what she did. She didn't bake them, though. She just bought them. She was not a baker. She bought cookies and sent them. All right, getting on to veggie frittata. With Asiago cheese.
I never make that mistake
again. Asagio, Asiago. Yeah. Okay, 1.5 teaspoons of olive oil.
1.5 little tea olive oil.
Medium red onion chopped.
Coarsely chopped. A medium red onion coarsely chopped.
Red bell pepper coarsely chopped.
A red bell pepper coarsely chopped.
A medium zucchini chopped.
Medium zucchini, not coarsely, chopped.
Just chopped. 2 cups of packed spinach leaves torn into 1-inch pieces. So you take a couple of cups. She takes 2 cups of spinach leaves and just tear it into pieces. Okay.
Yeah, like you said.
Like I said. 3 large eggs.
Three large eggs.
We're going to use a total of 9 large eggs, but 3 large eggs and then 6 large egg whites.
3 large eggs, 6 large egg whites.
That's right. So you're going to take the yolks and put them away.
Throw them away.
Well, we'll talk about that later on. You can actually use those later on in an omelet. There'll be a lot of cholesterol, but I bet it tastes really good.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, 1/2 teaspoon of salt and 1/4 teaspoon of pepper.
1/2 tea salt, 1/4 tea pepper.
And I recommend you always ground the pepper, and I've got a really nice pepper grinder with a bottom on it so I can grind the pepper and measure it out. And I bought it a couple years ago. It was really worth it.
Yeah, don't use anything but ground pepper.
Yeah, I mean,
that's right.
Yeah. It's totally different. Totally different. An ounce of, here we go, Asiago cheese.
An ounce of that cheese.
That cheese. 1 cup of chopped tomatoes.
Cup of chopped tomatoes.
And 1 tablespoonful or 2 tablespoonfuls of chopped fresh basil.
1 or 2 big tea. Chopped fresh basil.
It's got to be fresh basil. Here we go. Preheat the broiler. Heat the olive oil in a 10-inch diameter nonstick skillet over medium-high heat. Add the onion, pepper, bell pepper, and sauté until they're about golden brown, about 8 to 10 minutes. Then add the zucchini. Sauté until that's tender, another 5 minutes. Then add the spinach. Stir it until wilted. That'll be about a minute. Season it with salt and pepper until it tastes good. You're done with that. Now, whisk the eggs and those extra egg whites. Add salt and pepper, a little salt and pepper in the medium bowl, 1/2 teaspoon of salt, 1/4 teaspoon of good freshly ground black pepper. Pour the egg mixture over the hot veggies in the skillet. Stir gently to combine, then reduce the heat to medium-low. Cook without stirring until the eggs set on the bottom about 5 minutes. Do not stir. Sprinkle the cheese over the top of the frittata, that 1 ounce of wonderful Asiago or Asiago cheese, as Tom would say. Put it in the broiler and broil it until the cheese melts. Cheese melts about 2 minutes and sprinkle with tomatoes, those tomatoes, the cup of chopped tomatoes, and the fresh basil on top. And it's a wonderful, wonderful breakfast thing. It's really good for a loved one if you're having a romantic breakfast with friends or family. It's a really good recipe.
And if you'd like a copy of this recipe, let Zorba know. He'll come over to your place. And fix it.
That's
for
right.
You.
Or go to Zorba at WPR.org. And don't forget, we are on Facebook.
Our number is 800-462-7413. That's 800-462-7413. And Zorba, let's see if we can help a listener now in Green Bay, Wisconsin. Hi.
Hello. Hello. Brother Dr. Zorba, I have 2 questions, but my first one is most important. My second is a kind of scathing, loving inquiry, if we have time. But number one, golf and exercise. I've been arguing that walking on the golf course is a form of exercise, and I wanted to get your perspective about golfing and exercise, and if that could be almost substituted for going to the gym or the recommended amount per day that often is suggested for folks in reference to getting exercise in their life.
You are absolutely correct. Golf is great exercise. First of all, you're walking the course. I mean, golf in a cart is not the same as walking the course. And it's funny, my dad, he always walked the course. And when he died, and I wrote in the obit, I said he was a lifelong golfer and he always walked the course. I had a lot of people who said, golfers, you're right, your dad walked the course. When he got to be older, he got an electric cart so that he didn't have to push the cart all the time. But you're walking, you're pushing the cart, you're taking it on you. There's no doubt it's exercise. You're swinging, you're moving your body. It's not yoga, but it's stretching your body. Definitely, definitely, definitely. And, it's usually, you're doing 4 to 5 miles, and that's really good. And, Mark Twain said, golf is a good walk spoiled. So you can see, he had a different view. He had a different view. But when I love golfing. I figure when I golf, I don't golf that often, maybe 5 times a year with my friend Dan. And we make up our score before we start, so we don't really have to keep track of the ball. We can't go above the number 6. That's one of our rules.
Do you alternate who wins?
Of course, because we have to alternate who pays for the beer after we're on after on the course. But the answer is yes. Golfing is good exercise. And now, you can argue it doesn't have cardiovascular exercise. That's true. But the reality is a good exercise just means you're moving your body and doing something. And so, yeah, definitely. No doubt about it. No doubt about it. You like to golf, huh?
I do. And I've been having mixed reactions from friends and colleagues because I've argued, as you mentioned, on average 4 to 6 miles
right.
every time, depending on the size of the golf course.
Yeah, you're doing 10,000 to 12,000 steps. What you do is put on you take your smartphone, put on Moves or the Apple app, and then figure out how many steps you actually walk. And when they shun you and go, "What are you doing?" You go, "Hey, man, look, I walk 10 or 12,000 steps. How many steps did you get today?" Mm-hmm. You know, this is where the counts matters, not size, but the counts. So.
My second is a kind of scathing, loving inquiry is this. I got hooked to the show. I was driving, and I just listening to y'all both. But as an African-American male, I thought, is this the knowledge Dr. Brother Z is delivering applicable to my neighborhood? So
sure.
I didn't know if y'all did any special diversity shows or how would you respond when I felt like this was good information, but I don't know if enough people in my neighborhood are getting it, one, and if it's directly applicable, because we could have a very different experience at the doctors or with health and health care.
Well, first of all, number one, it is applicable. And when we talk about things, for instance, like hypertension, if you're an African-American, you use different blood pressure pills than if you're a Caucasian. So, for instance, ACE inhibitors, I mean, there are different pills that we use if you're an African-American because you respond to medication differently. But for other things, for most other things like statins and everything else, it's the same. The Mediterranean diet is the same. Following the same food groups are the same. But reaching people is not necessarily the same. Now, I also... So in Madison, Wisconsin, I also do TV, and I do TV. I used to do TV twice a week, and I do it now. I do it now once a week or once every other week. And it turns out that I reach more African Americans in Madison on my TV and in my column than I do anywhere else, because they'll stop me on the street and they'll say, "I saw you on TV," or "I read your column." But that's why you've got to use different ways to reach people, because we get information from different sources. But the stuff is applicable. There's no doubt about it. And I appreciate your mentioning those differences.
Well, I appreciate the time. Y'all have a great rest of the week, and I'm hooked, so you'll hear me again.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for listening.
Before we take a break, Zorba, let's check in again with your favorite backseat drivers, the Grammar Police. The following email came to us from a listener named Mary in Duluth, Minnesota. She writes, "Dr. Zorba, I have not ventured into the Grammar Police zone, but could not resist as you are speaking of a salad recipe. In reference to boneless, skinless chicken breast, you stated, when you make it good, the extreme..."
Gosh.
"Proper usage is when you make it well."
Gosh.
"But I would settle for when you make it well or prepare it properly."
Gosh, make it when you make it good, when you make it well, when you make it well properly. I mean, really, the nitpickers of the world should unite and basically come on the show and just sort of continuously correct me. I mean, that would be the way to do it. I stand corrected, and thank you so much for your kind comment.
Did you catch Zorba uttering a word salad? Be sure to let us know by posting on our Facebook page or by sending an email to
Zorba@WPR.org, or don't forget, we are on Facebook.
And we promise we won't laugh at you when you write. More
not.
Calls to come, as well as another interesting topic, all coming up on Zorba Pastor on Your Health from PRX, the Public Radio Exchange. Tom Clark with Family Doc Zorba Pastor here on Zorba Pastor on Your Health. That number to call is 800-462-7413. But Zorba, before our next call, a new study on vitamin D?
Vitamin D supplements don't work.
Okay, moving right along. 800. No, what do you mean?
You know, I mean. Well, but I'll tell you about the study and the pluses and the minuses. Yeah. And it's a disappointing study because I've been telling people to take vitamin D all the time. So the studies in the journal Lancet, number one, a prestigious journal, highly respected. There are really good journals. There are journals, and there are journals that are junk journals where you actually, the drug companies actually pay to get the stuff in the journals. They're called, we used to call them throwaway journals. There are hardly any of those anymore. But The Lancet is a highly prestigious journal. So when it's in there, you got to wake up and say, let's smell the coffee. Wake up, smell the coffee. Mm-hmm. It means interesting stuff. They looked at, it was a study of studies, 53,000 people looked at 81 randomized controlled studies. People took low doses of vitamin D, medium doses of vitamin D, high doses of vitamin D. They looked at whether or not they had differences in their bone density and their fractures. People, men and women over the age of 65, a lot of them were included, and lo and behold, the team concluded that vitamin D did not prevent fractures or falls or have a meaningful effect on bone mineral density. In other words, it didn't seem to do squat, which is very, very unfortunate. Now, the editorial that accompanied it, of course, there's always, you always want to look at the dark side, like, what did this study not do? And the editorial said that only 6% of the trials were done in populations with vitamin D deficiency. Well, that's true. In other words, a lot of the trials were just done, you know, people who are taking vitamin D for their bone health, but they didn't actually do measurements necessarily of vitamin D levels before and after. Now, for people with a vitamin D deficiency, that's a horse of a different color. In other words, you get vitamin D, you're deficient, you should get your vitamin D up there. So we're not talking about those folks. They may still benefit, but we're talking about the general population. And it's kind of disappointing, but hey, that's life. Life can have disappointments. Vitamin C never seemed to do much. Vitamin E never seemed to do much. Multivitamins. And I think it's just, once again, we got to look at this and say, what are we doing?
But can I ask you, and then you can find out whether I have vitamin D deficiency?
You can actually take a blood test at your doctor to find out if you have vitamin D deficiency. And if you want to prevent fractures, which is the real issue with osteoporosis, you can eat right at least 1,000 milligrams a day of calcium from foods. You can exercise, weight-bearing exercise. You can do balance, and you can increase your strength. And that will decrease your ability, decrease rather the chances that you're going to have a hip fracture. And when we talk about osteoporosis, fracture is the bottom line.
1-800-462-7413 is our number, 800-462-7413. And now, Zorba, let's see if we can help a listener in Buffalo, New York. Hi.
Hi. Thank you, Dr. Zorba, for taking my call. Pleasure talking to you.
Oh, you're most welcome.
My question is about taking multivitamin once daily.
Uh-huh.
And I'm taking it on a regular basis for several years, and I'm a little bit concerned. Does it cause any harm?
Uh-huh.
The one that I'm taking is Men 50 Plus Ultra Potency.
Uh-huh.
This one has more ingredient as folic acid double from 400 milligram to 800 milligram.
Uh-huh.
And on non-ultra potency was 4 milligram of copper, and this is 2 milligram, and this one is 4, and zinc double, and vitamin B12 is about, like, a little bit high dose. I'm a little bit concerned, does it cause any harm in lung?
Well, first of all, let's look at the whole thing about multivitamins. Number one, you don't take a multivitamin with iron. In other words, women should take it while they're menstruating. That's different. They need iron. But otherwise, if you go to a doctor and they do a blood test, if you do a blood test and you're anemic, that can be a sign of colon cancer, believe it or not, because colon cancer can drip blood into the colon. And so we never recommend a multivitamin with iron. And next, we have people who need it. They have an iron deficiency, they have a chronic bleed, and so on. So there are times that we recommend it, but generally, you stay away from iron. Iron, by the way, also constipates you, turns your poop black, and can confuse people. So we stay away from that. Second thing, If it says 100% of minimum daily requirements of the vitamin USP, which means U.S. Pharmacopoeia, that means it meets a certain standard set by the U.S. Pharmacopoeia, which means the vitamin comes out of the tablet. In other words, it leaches out correctly when it goes through the gut. Number three. How much should you pay for the vitamin? Should you buy a name brand or not? I recommend if you're going to have a vitamin, you get a house brand. They're cheaper. And the label is more plain, or if you buy something like at Costco or Target, you'll pay more for the multivitamin, but it's still cheaper than a branded vitamin. So, for instance, if you look at Centrum, which is a common vitamin, Centrum Silver, Centrum Gold, there probably are eight or nine different kinds. But I know Centrum Silver is for men and women over the age of 50. They then have a generic at most drugstores that say equivalent to Centrum Silver, and it's about equivalent. So I always recommend the house brands because they're cheaper. Now, on to your question. Are you doing yourself harm? And the answer is no. If you're avoiding iron, you're not doing yourself harm. Now, whether or not the little bits of copper, a little bit more zinc, a little bit more this, a little bit more that, every single study looking at adults taking multivitamins over the age of 50 have been a flop. And they're big studies. We're talking about the nurse's health study, the physician's health study. It didn't show any difference at all between taking a multivitamin and not taking a multivitamin. And the editorial in the Annals of Internal Medicine a year and a half ago said, we should stop this nonsense of taking a multivitamin. It hasn't shown anything. And so I stopped taking a multivitamin. I stopped completely because I decided it was a flop. And if I'm a scientist and the data shows it doesn't do much, why am I swallowing this pill? That's my take. You're not doing yourself harm, but there's no evidence you're actually doing yourself good.
Thank you, doctor. Since because I'm 50 plus, I thought some of the vitamin needs to be through supplement. It's probably a myth. It's not the reality.
Right. You hit it right on the head. And a Mediterranean diet, that's the way to go every day. And a lot of people, just to finish up on this, go, well, I'm not eating right, so I'll take a vitamin. And the answer is, honk, no. If you're not eating right, it means you're not eating right. And that would be, you know, like people say, well, I don't have time to exercise. And the answer is wrong. You should make time to exercise. Mm-hmm. Eat right, and you'll stay well.
Is that okay if I'm taking it every other day to give it a break for the...
Absolutely.
Thanks, doctor, for your time. Have a wonderful day. Nice talking to you.
Nice talking to you. Thank you so much.
You have a wonderful day, too. Our number is 800-462-7413. That's 800-462-7413. Okay, Zorba, time again now to trudge through the murky waters of medical quackery. Let's fire up another segment of Quacking Up with Dr. Zorba.
Quack it up with Dr. Zorba.
Okay, Zorba, how's your eyesight these days?
It's pretty good.
Okay, well, have you tried Dr. Isaac Thompson's famous eye water?
I have not. And I'm going to talk about what we talk about is the Eye Care Hall of Shame. So let's look at Dr. Isaac Thompson's celebrated eye water, first patented and marketed by Isaac Thompson, not actually a doctor. It was in 1795. It was a cure-all for eye complaints, still being sold well into the 20th century. No one really knew the ingredients until the Pure Food and Drug Act came in 1906. And the longstanding popularity for that was because the eye drop contained, opium.
Oh, my goodness.
Which absorbs quite well through the eye. So people would take the eye drop, and they'd be a little bit stoned. And it was kind of really
feel good and
Dr.
think,
Isaac
hey,
Thompson's
this really works.
Celebrated eye water. Then we have the Bates system of eye exercises. Now, this is really interesting. Against all evidence to the contrary, New York ophthalmologist William Horatio Bates thought that wearing eyeglasses was a bad idea with people with vision problems. You simply had to perform a series of eye exercises, such as swinging your eyes from object to object, palming your eyeballs, and visualizing pure black. And the Bates method was an enormous hit in the 20s and 30s. Numerous quacks in the wake attracted slavish devotion, and it was absolutely something. The Bates method, of course, was never really working. And I do remember reading, when I was younger, a book about the Bates method. It doesn't really work for it. And then we've got other things such as galvanic spectacles. Now, the galvanic spectacles, 1905, they were dark green lenses, plastic frame, concealing a secondary medical frame underneath that had electrical wiring. And the idea was that you would have a stream of electricity, the optic nerve, of course, there was no battery involved, that actually would work and make your eyesight better. You know, you can see what people were doing because eyesight problems were common and nobody wanted to wear glasses. And then, you know, what happened is then society changed and you started having advertising. Beautiful, wonderful, handsome, and gorgeous people wearing glasses. You can have glasses. The glasses actually became, you know, became thinner. It used to be people had to wear Coca-Cola glasses if their eyes were bad. And they actually became much better, so they don't have to wear those thick glasses. So I think, no more opium in the eyes for you, Tom. It's glasses, glasses, glasses.
I do take some eye drops, but I think they do.
I don't think they have opium in there. I don't think so.
Do you have an example of medical quackery to contribute to this segment? Just send us an email at
Zorba@WPR.org.
Back to the phones now, Zorba, at 800-462-7413. And we welcome a caller now in Jacksonville, Florida. Hi.
Yes, thanks, Zorba. I have an interesting case. It's regarding my father. So within the last, since November 2017, my father has had a debilitating issue which caused him to lose a lot of muscle mass, a lot of weight, and we have been going to his primary care doctor. He's seen a hematologist because we thought that he has some type of cancer. We did not know, but all of his blood markers came back fine. Mm-hmm. And now he, with the, a consult that he had with the hematologist, he looked at him and he said, you know, without any testing, of course, after many appointments with other doctors, he looked at him and he said, you know, I think you have some type of autoimmune disorder because, you know, with the amount of weight you lost, I mean, he's not even able to get out of the tub himself. Oh. We almost had to call rescue on him to get him out. But
How old is your dad?
He is 64 years old.
60, so he's not very old. And what's his height? What's his weight?
He weighed about 210 pounds, now he weighs 169.
Wow, that's a huge weight for someone that age. Any other symptoms besides the weight loss? You said he's seen a hematologist, which hematologists are often oncologists and cancer specialists.
Right.
And they think it may be an autoimmune disease?
Right. So we haven't seen another doctor, but he prescribed him prednisone.
Mm-hmm. So, but he doesn't have a diagnosis.
He said we should see a rheumatologist.
Right.
But the rheumatologist, we haven't made that appointment yet, but we still don't know. But within the course of his him prescribing the medicine, he prescribed him steroids.
Mm-hmm.
And those steroids have now gave him a little bit of ability to do what he needs to do. I mean, he's now out of the bed where he was lying for the last 8 months.
Wow.
Losing weight. So we don't really know what's going on with him until we see another doctor. So we're kind of stumbled. And with his income, he's not working. He hasn't retired, but now he has forced to be retired. And we're using up all of his resources financially wise to go to doctors and doctors and not figure out what's wrong with him. So we're trying we're grasping at straws here.
Well, you clearly are. By the way, how's his insurance?
Well, he has COBRA now because of his job.
Right.
So we are paying a very healthy part of out-of-pocket, but also he has a high deductible, too.
Uh-huh.
So
First issue, I mean, first of all, within the year, you want to do it all within 1 year, so use up that deductible. That's the dumb and stupidity of American medicine is the deductible goes for the calendar year, and then you start a different deductible. I won't get into the politics of that, but that's a problem with him. You do not have a diagnosis for him. I always recommend you've got to go to a secondary institution. I mean, he's gone from 210 pounds to 169 pounds. He's gone to weakness. He stopped eating. Something is rotten in Denmark, as Shakespeare would say. There's something going on with him, and you've got to get another opinion. Clearly, the hematologist, oncologist that you're going to doesn't have an idea of what it is. And just to say, I'm going to put you on prednisone and see if you gain weight, no. You don't use prednisone as an end-all, be-all, let's just put them on prednisone. You have to have a reason to do that. And you don't have a diagnosis. You have to go to a secondary center. And frankly, the sooner you do it, the better. He has lost a ton of weight, and he's not working, and he's only in his 60s. There's something going on here. And the real question is, as you would expect, is there a cancer lurking here that's actually doing it that they just haven't picked up? And sometimes there is a cancer. They don't pick it up the usual ways, and they have to look in other ways to try to find it.
Gotcha. Well, thank you for your advice. I really do appreciate you taking my call and definitely move forward from doing this.
You're welcome.
Whatever cost it is.
Yeah, good luck. Let us know what happens to this. We would be very interested.
Mm-hmm. And before we head out today, Zorba, let's crack open the Zorba Pastor on Your Health inbox and share a listener email. This one comes to us from a listener named Kim, who writes, Dr. Zorba, I've always heard of people experiencing brain freeze after eating ice cream.
Brain freeze.
I've never experienced that, but I have experienced back freeze hundreds of times. I've never met anyone who understands what I'm describing. Why am I getting back freeze instead of brain freeze?
Well, I have no idea what they mean by back freeze. But brain freeze is because what you're doing is eating something cold suddenly. It's the trigeminal nerve that's being activated, and it really is uncomfortable and really painful, and it takes a while for that nerve, a few seconds, for that nerve. Back freeze? I don't have the foggiest idea. You know what? I'm stumped.
I have a tricky question for Zorba. He's always got your back. Just post on our Facebook page or send us an email at
Zorba@WPR.org. Don't forget we're on Facebook and send me those questions, folks. I love to be stumped.
See you next week, Zorba.
Stay well, Tom.
If you missed anything during the show or just want to download our show podcast,
get us on the web. Visit us on the web at zorbapastor.org.
We'll get you on the web. And don't forget, you can call us anytime at 800-462-7413. Zorba Pastor on Your Health is a production of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's not intended as a medical diagnosis, so please do check with your doc. Our executive producer is Carl Christensen. Our technical director is Brad Kohlberg. Our theme music is by Leo and Ben Sidran. For Zorba Pastor, I'm Tom Clark, asking you to join us on the next Zorba Pastor on Your Health.
For more Zorba Pastor on Your Health, including episodes, recipes, and tips mentioned on the program, visit ZorbaPastor.org. This year, we're celebrating the show's 25th anniversary, and we want to hear from you. How has Zorba helped you out? What have you learned from the show over the years? Leave us a message at 800-462-7413.